Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's the hump day edition of Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy. Bobby Bell back tomorrow. We're trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible on your home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys. Jeremy Roenick and a Dallas Open ticket giveaway right around the corner during the commercial-free 720 Expressway. Mike McCarthy is supposed to meet with the Chicago Bears today. NFL Network says New Orleans Saints early next week. We have a New York Jets connection, or I should say an Aaron Rodgers connection, coming out of New York, as there's speculation that Aaron and Mike McCarthy may want to get back together. Yeah.
It's interesting.
How interesting is that? Now, the New York Jets, as it stands, may not even have Aaron Rodgers back.
Right. Didn't even know.
Rex Ryan was apparently wiped out.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Done.
That was the report from Rich Samini. Rich Samini is like the Todd Archer of the Jets.
Yes, he is.
And Samini is also saying that he does not think the Jets would have any interest in Mike McCarthy. They interviewed him before the Adam Gase stuff.
Yeah, they did this. He was like, that was the other interview he took. You know, with the cow, you know, during his gap year, it was the Jets and us. Like, those were a couple of interviews that he took.
Yeah.
And I guess they obviously went with Peyton Manning's recommendation of Adam Gase.
So it seems like there could be some interest. He believes Mike McCarthy would be interested in talking to the Jets, and the idea of reuniting with Aaron Rodgers would intrigue him. But Samini is reporting, I do not believe the Jets have the same interest in that idea. So maybe we follow some Aaron Rodgers' future breadcrumbs from Mike.
Oh, like where Aaron might go if Aaron might leave.
I mean,
that makes sense.
Because I'm assuming he leaves. I'm assuming he's gone. Does he still want to play?
Yeah, I would assume he leaves too. But, like, you know, where's he going to go? Like, everybody was saying, you know, Minnesota, right? Targeting Minnesota because it's the easy, hey, Favre went to Green Bay, then the Jets, then Minnesota. People were targeting Minnesota. Well, so Kevin O'Connell, even if that happened, Kevin O'Connell's not going anywhere. You see Aaron Rodgers going and wasting away in New Orleans for the final year of his career. I mean, I think the Raiders are an intriguing team, but, and because aren't they like sixth now in the picks? They're not going to get one of the top two quarterbacks. So there's an intrigue there. But do you see McCarthy going to Vegas? I mean, everybody's pointing to Ben Johnson going to Vegas. I don't know. I mean, I think it's legitimately dead. I think McCarthy has like four options. I do think there's four options for him. I know that they're all likely, but I think the Jets are one of them. Jacksonville, New Orleans, and Chicago.
Obviously. Here's the actual report from Rich Samini, Jets insider on ESPN Radio New York.
So there'd be no interest in Mike McCarthy who became available today?
You know, that's interesting, Don. I've done some reporting on this, and I think McCarthy would be interested in talking to the Jets. I think the idea of reuniting with Rodgers would intrigue him. I do not believe the Jets have the same interest. They interviewed him in 2019. That was the year the Adam Gase cycle. We know how that ended up. They should have hired McCarthy then. I don't think they came away blown away by his interview. And so they hired Gase, and you know, 2 years later, they were looking for another coach. So I think McCarthy is a good coach. He's obviously hasn't won at all since 2010 with Rodgers, but you know, he wins. He'll get you double-digit wins, and he does have a good relationship with Rodgers, despite what some people think. I know Rodgers has a lot of respect for him. You know, we're putting the cart before the horse there. I don't even know if Rodgers will be back, but the bottom line is I do not think the Jets would be pursuing Mike McCarthy.
By the way, one prominent coaching agent told Samini, Woody Johnson cannot make a good decision. He's 77. He took ownership of the Jets in 2000, saw Belichick walk out the door the very same month, and now is on the verge, RJ, of hiring his eighth head coach and seventh general manager since 2000.
He's David Tepper. He's a more mentally sound David Tepper.
Mike Zimmer told Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, all options are open for his future. Zimmer and other Cowboy assistants whose contracts expired are now allowed to interview elsewhere. Zimmer said, quote, I really enjoy coaching. Reporter Jeff Darlington, ESPN, said Mike Zimmer is contemplating retirement. So little Mike Zimmer buzz out there.
Yeah, this is a tough situation because you have on one side, you know what's going to happen if you bring in a new defensive coordinator. There is going to be a growth period, right? Just like we saw at the start of this year. The defense got much better as the year went on. I mean, look at Dan Quinn in Washington. The defense got a little bit better as the year went on. They were giving up a ton of points early. It happens, right? It happens every. But the other side is, so that makes you not want to make a change. That makes you want to bring Zimmer back. But the other side, I don't know. Like, if you have a guy who's contemplating retirement, is he all in? And are you doing a disservice to a new coach by giving him a DC, you know, like that? It may not be all in. It's got one foot in retirement.
Well, someone who may have some insight is another former Cowboy coach. Jason Garrett was on the This Is Football pod, and he was asked, what type of coach do the Cowboys need now?
You know, the kind of coach who thrives there is someone who's a really good coach. There's no doubt that ownership is involved. Jerry Jones is the general manager of the team. So he's the owner / general manager is involved, and he should be. That's how the organization's set up. So I think you have to be an excellent communicator. I think you have to be an excellent leader. And when I say communicator and leader, it's not only communicating and leading to your staff and to your team, it's also leading upward in the organization. I think you have to have a really clear vision for what you want the team to be. And this is what I want it to look like as a team, an offense, defense, kicking game. These are the kind of players we want to have. And I think you have to be able to clearly articulate that and get everybody on the same page.
You know, a lot of people are using the A word during this head coaching cycle.
Apathy?
Apathy? No, don't use that word. That's a no-no over there in Frisco.
Don't be all in.
Don't use that word. And it's not all for all in. It's alignment. And JGZ hit on that for the Cowboys.
The teams that have success in the NFL are aligned. They're aligned from ownership to general manager to head coach to coordinators, quarterback, all the way down through. Look at the obvious examples. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, some of the other ones, the teams that are there year after year. So you're trying to create alignment. And when you're the head coach, you're really in charge of that. You're in charge of the creating the vision and letting everybody know that this is what we want this team to look like. And we have to be disciplined to making the decisions to make this vision come alive. And I think it can be challenging in Dallas because of the ownership general manager, but also can be advantageous in Dallas because the ownership and the general manager is the same guy. So it's incumbent upon you to do a great job communicating what the vision is, being disciplined to that. And when we did that, when I was the head coach there, we drafted really good players and we had really good teams. And when we deviated from that and we were less disciplined, we weren't quite as good. And I think that's a really important thing to understand.
This is just a guess. Bobby may spill all the beans tomorrow in the giving us the McCarthy. But Jason is someone who I feel like could walk the Jerry bridge better than McCarthy did. Like, I could see Mike, I'm just guessing, I have no idea. I could see Mike being like real irritated with, oh, I have to fill Jerry in on this. I have to report back to that. And Jason knew what it was, right, from being a player here. And Jason has that CEO mentality of, look, this is part of the job. I got to report to my boss. I got to report to the boss who's the owner and the general manager. I don't know. I'd get the sense that Mike was probably more irritated with the setup here than JG.
He might have been. He might have been more irritated.
That's a total guess. I don't know.
The thing you have to do, like, you could be irritated with it. You can't show it to the media. And I thought Mike did a pretty decent job of not showing it all the time.
Not better than Jason, though.
No, but nobody did it better. Jason's like a congressman. Like,
yeah.
Mike, the advantage Mike has is Mike has shown, like, he was able to work with a two polar opposite type organizations. Like, he was able to work with Jerry and Ted Thompson, and was Gutekis there when he was there, and Mike Murphy. So he's been able to kind of mold between the personalities.
And then final clip from Garrett. If you were asked by Jerry Jones, what should I change? How and what would Jay Jeezy change about the way Jerry runs things?
Well, Jerry's 82 years old. He's done things a certain way for a long, long time. So, I think if you go in there as the head coach, you have to embrace what those dynamics are.
Yeah.
And you have to learn. I learned a tremendous amount from Jerry Jones during my time there as a player, as an assistant coach, and as a head coach. He's a really, really bright, bright guy who has great perspective on a lot of things inside and outside of football. So, having a beginner's mind and someone who wants to learn from someone like that, I think is important. But then also having your own vision about how things need to be and being able to communicate that vision is critical. I don't think you should spend a lot of time trying to change Jerry Jones. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you have to understand what his strengths are and then maybe some of the areas where you guys can work together to make the organization better than it's been in recent years.
That's another reason why I don't think Belichick would have worked here, even though that's who I wanted. Belichick
does not have a beginner's mind.
But he also looks down his nose at even his boss asking him stuff. He went on McAfee and gave a viral answer of, oh, I have, you wouldn't believe NFL owners reading the papers and asking you about that stuff.
Yeah.
And the disgust. The disgust that Bill Belichick even had at times for someone like Robert Kraft, who was so hands-off, it seemed, at least if you watch the Dynasty, he wouldn't be able to handle all the stuff that happens around here, in my opinion. He can compliment the Jones publicly all he wants.
Well, no, because
he wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Listen, the number one... All right, so what is the number one job of a football coach at 31 other places?
To win?
Coach football. It's the number one job. The head coach of the Lakers, the manager of the Yankees, and the head coach of the Cowboys, their number one job is not coaching or managing that team. It's managing the front office and the owner. George, Jerry, and Jeannie. Like, that's the number one thing you have to be. You have to be the best at that. Like, and that's the problem. Like, the coaching aspect of it is the secondary aspect of it here. And that's the frustration. You've got to be able... Joe Torre was not the greatest manager in baseball, but he handled George better than anybody.
Yeah.
And you could put up with the fact that he didn't know how to handle a pitching staff to save his life, but he could handle George. And Phil Jackson handled Jeannie in more ways than one. All right. And Pat Riley handled Jerry Buss. You've got to be able to handle Jerry Jones. Garrett did a good job of that. I'd rather Garrett come back to Kellen Moore.
No, come on.
I'm out. Very disappointed today.
Well, it's not done.
Yes, it is.
You think it's done?
Yes, it is.
877-881-1053, the way to hit us up for the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. That is also the number to win the Dallas Open ticket giveaway, which we have coming up for you next in the commercial-free expressway that's going to start off with a whale guess. The hockey legend, the always entertaining Jeremy Roenick, to talk about your awesome Dallas Stars and more next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Goes low. Nice move. Score! Matt
Duchesne. A gorgeous move, beautiful hands in tight, and a power play goal doubles the lead.
And a big win in Toronto on Victory Plus, 4-1 Stars. What a road trip. 5 games on the East Coast, 4 wins, and 8 out of a possible 10 points. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean and RJ in the commercial-free expressway with a big-time guest live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and Zoom. He is the hockey legend, Hall of Famer, golfer, whiskey expert, possibly, Jeremy Roenick, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. How you guys doing? And listen, I'll take all those accolades that you just put out there. I appreciate that. Hope you guys are doing well.
Well, I'd like to start with the Hall of Fame, but I know Choppy. Well, I don't know, Choppy. Would you like to rather go golf or whiskey?
Man, I mean, they pair well together. They pair well together. You can only choose one.
They did that. They did that weekend. I'll tell you that. It was a great weekend. I was thoroughly blessed, and the gratitude was just.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Oozing out of my body. It was a great weekend. I waited a long time for it, and I can tell you it was worth every second of the wait.
What's that, 90 proof?
It was 70 proof.
It's a good number right there. Now you can only do one for the rest of your life. Drink whiskey or play golf.
Oh, I'm playing golf. There's no question about it. It's better on the body. It's better on the body. and I'm good at it too. So I'll have just as much enjoyment doing it.
The Tournament of Champions is something we're going to talk about here in a second on 105.3 The Fan. But we got to talk about the Stars, man. What is your impression of this hockey team so far this year and the recent run that they've been on?
You know, I've liked this team for a long time. My good buddy Joe Pavelski was on this team, and he's fantastic. They just seem to be their own worst enemy at times, and you think they're going to go great, and then they just can't get over the hump. But I've always liked the way that they played. They're very very disciplined, good both ways, good offense, good defense. Their goaltending is good. I always wish great things for them, but. It's always a crazy place for me because I had a lot of traumatic times in that city, but it's one that I really love. There's no question about it. I know they'll get over the hump at some point, especially because of their goaltender. But again, it's a very difficult trophy to win. Trust me, 21 years, it eluded me.
It feels like, you know, when they've been, you know, so good, it's been 5-6 years where they've been at the top of the, you know, near the top of the West. That the run would be coming to an end, but it doesn't seem like it is because they've been able to grow so much, you know, through the draft. Is this a team that's window is probably going to stay open more than just another year or two?
I hope so. I mean, their veterans are getting a little bit up there. Jimmy Benn, obviously, Sagan, and all these guys that have been getting older. They still have one of the best defensemen in the game, I believe. But, you know, they're... They definitely do have gotten a very good sense of young guys that are coming up. I think their scouting staff has done a great job, but again, it's all luck, and you have to be playing right at the right time. Everybody's got to gel at the right time. You could have the best team in the league and be out in the first round. That's just what playoffs are all about. So it's you just got to hope for the team just gelling at the right time, but. I do think that maybe the window of being very good is a little bit bigger for them.
You mentioned the word luck. You don't hear athletes talk about like the luck factor. How much plays into luck and winning a championship?
A lot. It comes down to breaks. It comes down to getting that lucky goal, getting that big save.
Health.
Health, yeah. Exactly. That was my next point. Is how many guys can stay healthy through a very, very treacherous 2 months of playoffs? I mean, you're playing every other day and traveling between cities and playing one of the most brutal games that there is to play at speeds that nobody else plays in a physical contact sport. So it's. Luck has a lot to do with it to win a cup. But listen, I can't say I didn't have 21 years of bad luck, but I was on 4 President's Cup trophies, best teams in the league, and 2 of them we got bounced in the first round. So my luck was not very good.
When you look back on that, Jeremy, are you like, all right, this was what was missing? After all those years and you look back on what was obviously a Hall of Fame career, are you like, all right, that was the component, that was the ingredient that was missing, and I'm trying to apply that to the Stars who are trying to get over that hurdle?
Yeah, and you know, everybody thinks that they have the team to do it, and it's the one sport where absolutely every individual's preparation becomes very important. If there's if the third line... If there's 2 players in the third line that aren't doing their job, usually that's a big defensive role, right? They're going to be playing against the other team's best team. If they're not playing at their best, they're going to lose. It literally is a trophy where pretty much everybody on that team has to be running in unison. And, you know, that's very hard to do. That's why it's such a hard trophy to win. And there's some teams that have learned how to do it. The Florida Panthers got to the finals. 2 years ago, they lost and learned their lesson and learned how to win. Next year, they went back to the finals and won. That's a very, very unique situation in hockey. And I'm very envious of the people that have learned it and the teams that have learned to play the right way at the right time of the year.
Jeremy Roenick joining us live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. You mentioned Dallas and trauma, and we all know 99... you know, Madonna and Hatcher and the hit and the suspension and all that. Because of that, did Dallas become one of, like, your least favorite cities? Was there a hatred that developed there, either for the club or just coming here when they came there?
You know, I loved that kind of competition. I loved those rivalries that got me motivated. So as much as I hated going to Dallas because I knew it was going to be a tough game, I knew it was going to be physical, I loved going in there because I knew the fans were going to be excited. I knew it was going to be a good game. I knew it was going to be competitive. I knew going into that game in Dallas after I knocked Medano out, I knew I was in for a tough game. You know, I was in the front page of the Dallas newspaper. You know, so I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I didn't know I was going to get my jaw broken in six places by Hatcher, but I knew it was going to be tough. And I love that. I still today love Darian Hatcher. Obviously, I love Mike Medano. I have a total amount of respect for them because that's the game. I'm not going to get mad at them. If Darian Hatcher didn't do anything to me that night after what I did to Medano the night before, I would probably lose respect for him, but he didn't. He was a captain, and he acted like a captain, and the team rallied around their best player, and the fans rallied around their team. That's what sports is all about, and I totally love that about Dallas, and I love that about that team.
Are you getting frustrated, like similar to a pitcher who can't pitch inside without having someone charge the mound, a hockey player who can't land that good heavy check without having to drop the gloves?
I found a way to get it all done. Trust me. I laid that big hit. And when I needed to drop the gloves, I wasn't the best fighter in the world. I'd fight anyone. So I did have that sometimes harder, that harder job of landing a good punch against a good fighter because they could defend themselves. I just held on for dear life. But I was a gamer. There's no question.
Who's the enforcer today that reminds you of somebody like a Hatcher from back then? If there is one.
There's not too many guys that like to drop the gloves and do anything like that. Tom Wilson in Washington has kind of morphed his game he wants to be more of an offensive guy, and he's done that, but he is very tough and he has been able to do that. You know, there's really the game is void of any of the real tough guys. What's the kid in New York? I forgot the kid's name. He was kind of a phenom a little bit last year. He was fighting everybody. His name escapes me, but you guys can look it up. But that's how hard it is to find somebody in the game now that likes to fight, because it is more of a talent game, more than just a physical toughness game anymore.
Jeremy Roenick here on 105.3 The Fan. So we love Darren Woodson here in the Metroplex, and some people have compared you to Woody in terms of the Hall of Fame wait, where people are like, no, this should have happened years and years and years ago. How excruciating was all those years? How did you change the waiting game of, I'm not even paying attention, I'm not sitting by the phone, screw this. I've said to certain, you know, that certain Hall of Famers who should be in should be like, you know what, I'm not even accepting your invite. Y'all made me wait too long. Take us through that process.
Oh, you just hit every single emotion that I had throughout the last 12 years. There's no question. And, you know, the first 4 or 5 years, it was June 26th usually when the Hall of Fame announcement comes out. And I was by my phone every June 26th, and my friends were calling me, good luck, JR, good luck, good luck, and then nothing. By the 10th year, the frustration had really set in, and all the fans, all the great fans that I've had, and even when I'm in Toronto and I'm walking, people don't even know who I am, or they're not even fans of mine. They're like, JR, how come you're not in the Hall of Fame? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have an answer. But literally this past year was the first year where I didn't care. I wasn't looking at it. I didn't know what the date was. I wasn't expecting it. And it came. But it was June 25th this year. And I literally got the call and I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's the date? Because I got an answering machine. My answering machine got it on my phone. So I checked my voicemail. And it says, welcome to the Hall of Fame. Press 3 for tickets. Press 4 for tours. And like, yeah, why am I getting a call from the Hall of Fame? Oh, wait, what's the date? And then I got all sweaty and nervous. And then the call came in again about 5 minutes later, and it was Lanny McDonald and Mike Gartner accepting me and welcoming me into Hall of Fame. And I lost it. I started crying. And I will tell you, I was so happy with the way I felt by the call and the way that it affected me and hit me. Because like you said, after 12 years, I thought he didn't care. I thought I was just, it's not a big deal anymore, but it really is. It was actually probably one of the biggest deals that has ever happened to me. And I feel different. I really do. I feel different as a person, as a hockey player, it's changed me a lot.
Wow. That's awesome. That's a great story.
And it changed that signature price.
Yes,
too.
It did. Go to a card show now.
We like when a number goes up, not down.
Yeah. Jeremy Roenick, Jonas here. 105.3 The Fan. Look, I love golf. Sean likes Michael Jordan stories. I know he's an old golf buddy of yours. What is playing golf with? It sounds like it's an intense nightmare to play golf with Michael Jordan. Is that true?
It is, because he's very intimidating, because he loves to trash talk. So he's always in your ear. He's always saying something. And it's Michael Jordan. So obviously you are going to be intimidated when you're playing with Michael Jordan. And it's been a long time since I played with him. But it doesn't matter, because he is, without question, the most competitive and the most, I think, toughest mentally to try to beat. And he's a good player. So for me, if he loses, he's going to find a way to get his money back, or he's going to find a way to get you back. And that's another frustrating thing, is it's never ending. So you might as well let him win the first time, so you don't have to have him keep coming back at you. But he is without question the biggest competitor, and have the highest competitive level of any athlete that I've ever seen in my life.
Give us your dream celebrity foursome of guys or girls that we would know, the other three, to go play the perfect round with for whatever reasons.
I think number one would be Clint Eastwood. I don't know if I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan, and I know he's a big golfer up in the Pebble Beach area.
Wow.
I always thought that would be really cool to play golf at Pebble Beach with Clint Eastwood. And I'm a big Ronald Reagan fan. I would love to have played Ronald Reagan. And yeah, so I would throw those two in there. I can't put Michael Jordan in there, because I've already played with Michael a couple times. I've played with Trump a couple times. I wouldn't know who that – maybe probably Arnold Palmer. I think Arnold Palmer would be a great guy to spend the day with. I did meet Arnold Palmer one time. It was in Bay Hill after I jumped on one of the alligators that was out on the fifth hole, which was not a smart thing to do.
I'm sorry. What? And
there was an alligator out there, and I tried to jump on its back, and I got its tail, and it zipped into the water. But the funny part was after the round, we're in the men's grill, all about eight of us, just having a spirit and talking about the round, and in comes Arnold Palmer. And he's standing at the edge of the table, and he looks at me and goes, "Hey, hockey boy," he said, "will you leave my alligators alone? They're scared bleep bleep out there." And I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm sorry, Mr. Palmer." And he's like, "Oh, I'm just kidding." He goes, "You're a crazy bastard." I'm like, "Oh gosh." I said, "Of all things to meet Arnold Palmer, it's like jumping on one of his alligators."
Jeremy Roenick here on 105.3 The Fan. It is the Hilton Tournament of Champions. Does the trash talk carry over with, Pavelski or Madonna? Talk about this event, Jeremy.
It's the best golf event outside of Tahoe. So this is like the Tahoe golf tournament on the East Coast. I think it's better than Tahoe. It's a four-dayer. We get to play with the LPGA Tournament of Champions, so the best female golfers in the world, which obviously humble us very quickly. So we get to share the course with the best female golfers in the world, and then we get to compete for our own purse, playing against the best celebrity golfers in the country. I've had a chance to win it the last 2 years, and unfortunately have come up a bit short. But it's a four-day grind, and if anybody tells me that golfers aren't athletes, I might resort into my hockey days and hit them, because it's a hard grind to play 72 holes, walking, keeping your head about you, the competitive level, a tough golf course. Lake Nona is a very difficult golf course. The greens are fast, but the competitive level and the playing level is second to none, if you ask me. And it's a fantastic tournament. And, you know, it's great for fans to come out and watch because you get a little bit of LPGA and they get a lot of celebrity.
And that's going to be on the Golf Channel starting Thursday, January 30th. How different of a golfer are you, if at all, in front of people versus by yourself with your buddies? Are you pretty much the exact same, or, you know, having a gallery there that, you know, Caitlin Clark could take out? Does that change your scoring?
You know, I've played in celebrity tournaments now for almost 30 years. And when I started, I was a train wreck. Yvonne Lendl nicknamed me Mr. Yippie back oh, wow. in the 90s.
Original Barkley.
That's not good.
Yeah. I would four putt every hole because I was so nervous with all the people watching. But as you play in front of people, you get more comfortable. And now it's the same. For me, I get more focused. When I'm in front of people, it's almost like I feel more like I did on the ice in front of the people. I don't feel nervous as much anymore. They're out of the way enough to where I know I'm not going to hit them. So that's a good thing. I know I'm not going to shank one that bad. But for a lot of players, it's hard. It's very, very hard playing in front of people and having eyes on you and having the, and it's just a little bit of nerves, and that ball can go in a lot of different directions. But I have it under control now, finally, at 55 years old.
When you are playing with a PGA golfer, are you, because you mentioned the trash talk with Jordan, can you get under their skin? Because golfers aren't trash talkers at all. Like, they're not, like, not compared to, like, you know, NBA, NHL, stuff like that. Can you get under their skin, or do you try to anyway?
I can get under anybody's skin. I don't do, you guys know my reputation. I can get under anyone's skin at any time. It just depends on how brutal I'm going to go. But even if I'm playing against some of my PGA buddies, I will negotiate more strokes. And if I'm playing good, then I start being a little bit more quiet so that they don't get too angry because they're going to come back at me. But there's some guys that I've really gotten. I played Tom Lehman in a tournament a few years back. I shot 67, and I thought he was going to pull all of his hair out of his head. It's like, what? You're a celebrity. Like, you can't be shooting 67.
Whoa.
I'm like, yeah.
Dude.
Do you have any favorite Dallas courses to play?
You know, I've never really played in Dallas. I've had people ask me out to Dallas National. What's the other one? Calouse is. What's the other big course out there in Dallas that a lot of the players belong to?
Trinity Forest, there's Vaquero, the Preston Trails.
Preston Trails. That was the other one that they asked me to. And I know they just built the new PGA, mm-hmm. PGA course out there. So, but unfortunately I haven't had an opportunity yet. When I'm down there, I'm usually playing hockey, but I did play in a tournament, where they had the senior tour, tournament out there at,
it was a Las Colinas, right?
Las Colinas. Yeah. I played Las Colinas, but I don't think the tournament's there anymore that we played with with the Tournament of Champions, which was a great one also.
Jeremy, before we let you go, who's your NFL team?
Well, it's the LA Chargers, the one San Diego Chargers. I live in San Diego. I'm a big Herbert fan.
Okay.
But I think now if I have to root for someone, I'm going to root for Buffalo because I'm a big Josh Allen fan, and I don't want to see KC win it again.
Nobody does, really.
No. I'm totally done with that team. I don't, like, if I never see them again. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Mahomes and all them, but they can lose now.
It is the Hilton Tournament of Champions with the Hall of Famer, the legend, Jeremy Roenick, here on 105.3 The Fan. You were just as good as we knew you would be. Thank you so much. Congratulations once again, and keep killing the golf courses, man.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you saying the nice things about me and promoting the tournament, and hopefully I can get it done this year.
And what's the whiskey?
Whiskey in the Wild, the best chocolate whiskey you've ever had in your entire life. Trust me, you go to whiskeyinthewild.com, you'll never have an experience like that in a glass.
Does it come with a flask? They all come with a flask?
It does. All comes with a flask. Yep. You get the. By the way, they're in my golf bag too. So maybe that's why I'm.
Thank you, brother. All the best. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for your time. We'll
Man,
see you later.
Some guests you just know. Yeah,
that's great.
You just know.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Gavin Spittle, for setting it up. And Jeremy Roenick, the Hall of Famer, live on the D&M Leasing Hotline. So that's an event that you can check out on TV. This one, we're sending you to in person.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to the Dallas Open on February 3rd and 4th at the Star in Frisco. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ. The next guest will be Matt Pittman. It's a Meat Church Wednesday at 8:20 to get you back on your grilling game. But since it is Wednesday, commercial-free expressway, let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
We said AI was the worst thing or one of the most dangerous things ever, and it is proving to be. I was wondering why Brad Pitt was trending yesterday. And we found out. We found out the easy way. This French woman found out the very, very hard way about Brad Pitt. She was DM'd on Instagram and convinced by this scammer that AI-generated videos and edited images were actually Brad Pitt, and that Brad Pitt wanted to be in a relationship with her. She divorced her husband.
Oh, my gosh.
Thinking that her and Brad Pitt would get together.
Is there pictures of this woman?
I have not seen photos.
Okay.
Now,
was she, like, filthy rich? I mean, I imagine if you have $800,000...
Yeah,
or did she just wipe out all the life savings?
She appeared that she had some money, right? So her name was Anne. The issue here, I can't believe this is a real story. I really can't. So here's the issue. Brad Pitt, fake Brad Pitt, scammer Brad Pitt, says that he is in the hospital. And he sends... Or the scammer sends all these photos. And if you saw these photos, you're like, these are not real. All these photos of himself in a hospital bed, surgery, you know, an IV in the arm, everything, right? On an operating table. Jeez. Photos of him on an operating table. So he convinces her that his bank accounts were locked because of his divorce with Angelina Jolie and that he needed money for a kidney surgery.
Oh, my gosh. Lost blood because of the vial, the necklaces that Angelina wears around her throat.
She sent over 800,000 euros.
My gosh.
To this fake Brad Pitt. She realized it was fake when she saw Brad Pitt on the news with a girlfriend. I mean, she divorced her husband. Could you imagine? Like, obviously.
It's hard sometimes for me to feel bad for these types of people.
Yeah,
obviously. If it's an elderly person, you know, like even the other day, I don't know. I have to get a new debit card because I'm not sure if I was the victim of someone trying to use it or did I use it somewhere else. Or I booked a flight the other day and a man is like, are you sure? Are you sure? Why are they redirecting you to this or that? So I do feel bad because of all the pieces of crap out there and the elderly who fall for this stuff. My dad sends us like all this stuff and I'm like, it's a scam. Stop. But you thought Brad Pitt was getting with you. And then even if you saw him on TV with the girlfriend, that's your moment of, oh my gosh, he's such an upstanding person. He's got a girlfriend. He can't be DMing anybody else.
He's not DMing anybody
else. Celebrities don't cheat.
So she said.
That was your moment that broke your heart that he's on TV with a girlfriend. Like, I'm not the one. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, he had like, she said she got divorced and then sent basically all of her divorce settlement directly to Brad Pitt or to this fake Brad Pitt, the scammer Brad Pitt. What? A wild, wild story. I don't even know. Like, there's really nothing more to say about this. This is literally the dumbest lady in human history. The dumbest generation in human history.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't be a Chop It Up without 14 Gen Z stories.
Listen, it's my favorite generation. They're going to change the world, but they can't change a light bulb. They shockingly admitted that a vast number of Gen Zers have no idea to do basic tasks. Now, we've talked about them. You know, they have very big work-life balance.
And Gen Z is what age exactly again?
It's like 1996 to 2010.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
No, I'm not in this. It's at least 97 because I'm in Sean's generation.
I think you're in this one.
No. I think we've proven this. Don't make me a Gen Zer.
Go to the Googles.
No. I can change the label.
You're in my generation. How old are you?
I'm 28.
I'm 43.
I know. I think Bobby has proven it, though, that it like it started at your, you know, when you were born and ended in 96. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure we found this out.
Investigators found that 25% of Gen Z has no idea how to change a light bulb in a ceiling lamp. Many claiming that A, climbing a ladder is too dangerous.
Oh, my gosh.
1 in 5 worry that the light bulb might be too hot. So instead of risking their lives to complete a very common task, they would rather get others to do it, which is got it. G-O-T-D-I-T. Get others to do it. Got it. That's what they would rather do.
So look, I'm a dummy in terms of these types of things. But, I mean, come on. Even I can change a light bulb. Smoke detector. Sometimes I second and third guess myself.
Yeah.
You know, am I doing it correctly? But I still change the smoke detector in my house. But a light bulb, the biggest problem with changing a light bulb, am I going to the store and getting the exact type of match? Am I getting the same yellow hue?
Absolutely. I've got boxes on boxes of light bulbs that I bought.
Yeah.
And turned out either it was the wrong hue, like you said, or whatever. That just I don't want to have to go to the store.
Yeah,
and they always run out.
They're expensive too, right?
We just ran out of those. What are they called? Can lights? The inside, like we just ran out. Like all three of them burn out at the same time.
Well, that's good. At least
it's good, right? Yeah. So I was able to have it. The average Gen Zer spends about $1,500 per year hiring professionals to knock out basic chores.
Okay, so yeah, there are those apps and services, a handyman, come over and install and put together that piece that you got from the store.
Right, so it could be like anything you bought or fire alarms, all that stuff. Gen X shells out about $500 a year. Boomers about $300 a year, which that's probably going to rise as they get older. Or maybe have your kids do it, because most boomers' kids, I guess, would be either Gen X or millennials. But Gen Z, not really knowing how to change a light bulb. We mentioned Jordan Schultz earlier in the show.
NFL reporter. He's the one who broke the Deion Jerry Jones story and was on G-Bag yesterday.
Yes. Not with us, but with G-Bag.
I can't get a hold of this guy. I mean, he DMs all the time. He DMs the station account to come on. I text him back. Nothing. I think he came on one time and I wasn't here.
Yeah, I think he was. His father, like we had mentioned, is Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks.
Oh, we're going to fight over this.
And Starbucks will now no longer allow people to sit in their coffee shop. A lot of people just go to Starbucks, sit in there and work. And they will not allow them to use the bathroom without purchasing something. Now,
you're not allowed now to use the bathroom without purchasing.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Starbucks thing with working is like everybody just goes in there. You gotta send an email. You go in there, send an email. I always purchase something when I go in. Yeah. It's coffee. It's $2.
Is it
$4? Whatever.
Is it?
But I don't get the. I'm on the Dan Campbell coffee plan. Just give me the straight black coffee. What? The straight black espresso.
Why do you make me do this? Why do you make me call you on your choppyisms, your contra choptions? You used to rip off the 19 named drinks for years and years and years and years. No, forever.
Yeah.
Forever you would sit there and rip off the drinks that you would go ahead and get. I guess maybe at the Super Bowls you get a black eye or a black eye.
Or you get a red eye, a black eye, or a green eye. You get the green eye one too, which is just coffee with espresso. It's basically an Americano. But it's the, you know, it's not the, you know, double mocha latte. Three pumps, no sugar, non-fat with whip.
Yeah.
You know,
I've gotten those before. I'm so terrible at Starbucks. The last time I ordered at the counter, I got something back cold and I intended it to be hot. I can't even order the right damn temperature. First it was the size and now it's the temperature that I can't get straight. I have Starbucks anxiety.
There are people that go in.
And my wife, like, I try to, you know, walk up to the hotel room in Nashville with the coffee from my wife and she's looking at me with disgust. I'm like, how about the fact that I just tried? I tried to get you a fancy, nice coffee. It just ended up being a slushy instead of something hot.
You know, you mentioned temperature. There are people that will go in and say, I want this drink at 196 degrees.
Shut up.
They will tell the...
What, you got a thermopen to stick it in like a brisket?
Yeah, they want you to heat it to a certain temperature. And sometimes they want to heat it so hot that it like ruins the coffee. And like the baristas are like, nah, it's like, that's not... You're going to like really...
Yeah.
It's going to ruin the drink.
But back to what I think we're going to argue about. Good.
Oh,
Don't be going in. I have bathroom anxiety, too. If I stop at a convenience store on a road trip, I worry. Like, it's like I'm sneaking down to a seat at a game I don't belong in. I'm like, do I buy this bag of chips? Like, do I get this drink that I don't want? I feel bad. I feel like I'm sneaking in to someone's home to use their bathroom and then sneaking out. I don't want you sitting in my place of business, just sitting around not buying something. This ain't some you know, living room for you to just chill in.
The sitting around thing, you know, it's one thing.
Loitering.
You know, if I'm TC-ing out there, and I need to go use the bathroom.
Yeah, no, I'm not killing you for doing it, but I don't have a problem with the business policy of if you come in here, buy something.
I don't have a problem. What I do at a gas station is you park at a pump.
Yep.
You park at a pump.
Yeah, so they think you're, that's good.
Yeah, just park at a pump, but park like on the side kind of, so they don't necessarily see. Just park at a pump and walk in and use their facilities.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to buy a Gatorade or whatever.
Pepe, do you worry about this? I can't imagine that you're too paranoid or worried about the free restroom stop.
No, I mean, look, if you got to go to the bathroom, if I'm a business, if you run and use the bathroom, if you really got to go, then leave immediately. But if you're like a common person that comes back and forth, and doing work there for, you know, 6-7 hours, like that's a little ridiculous.
The worst is stopping at like a little taqueria or something. It's not a big Buc-ee's where you get lost in the mix and you're like the only person that's walking in there and they're looking at you like, what are you going to order? And you got to fake like, okay, hang on one second. You run in with your kid and then you got to like sprint out without them being like, hey, we got carnitas. You better buy some.
Better buy some. Again, Starbucks says they've been tinkering with this idea for a while and they finally have gone full on and say no more loitering and using the facilities.
Chopping it up every hump day here with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Roberto Bobby Belt. Our Cowboys Insider will be back tomorrow. Thank you. Oh, man, the Jeremy Roenick
blew up
tweets saying best interview of the year so far. So thanks to the Tolos for listening, the boss for setting it up as we are almost to 1,000 off of Hockey Talk here on DFW Sports Station. That was OG Wade, Papa Bear, Anthony. They're all giving major, major props to Jeremy Roenick, who was absolutely fantastic. And he hopped on the fan cam, Twitch, and Zoom like Matt Pittman Meat Church will do at 8:20 this morning. Choppy has the list of Mike McCarthy replacements. Do they excite or fright you? Need you on the fan text. The next Cowboys coach, excite or fright after this.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.